Well, Teresa, who are we going to look at today?
We're going to look at Temple Grandin.
The famous autistic person.
That's right, someone everyone in human design should know about if they don't, because she's really blazing the way, okay? She's a 6-2 manifesting generator. She's on the left angle cross of spirit in the quarter of duality. She's a fifth color, right fixed, no surprise. Split definition. She has an unconscious 48-16, an unconscious 34-20, an electromagnetic 31-7, an electromagnetic 33-13, and all of that split off from a conscious 39-55.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has heard of her with that, the autism, that TV movie they did,
Of her
HBO,
life, right.
where Claire Danes
Played
playing her
her.
has won every award. And not only that, Temple Grandin has been at every awards presentation for Claire Danes. So there she is in a cowgirl outfit. Talk about somebody marching to your own drummer. But, this is a woman that designed cattle. I mean, you could think of it as a horrible thing, cattle slaughtering pens where the animal is treated with respect and a funny empathy, 13th gate first line, where they're not frightened and scared that, okay, we're going to butcher animals, but we could at least do it humanely, that treats the animal with respect. And here she is, this very autistic person who isn't connected to people, really. I mean, they don't have this connective thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It talks about that, just it's like I say, I do believe that, anybody that's in human design and really wants to understand about the rave that's coming, it's like this is
Right.
something to really study. Because she talks about, she's not like interested in movies and all of the stuff with this manipulation of emotions. She's
Right.
not into this whole kind of emotional trip. It's not part of her being. And it's interesting, I mean, she's the 39-55. That 55 though is that, the 55-6.
Right,
And
disengagement, withdrawal, the 39-1.
right.
But that 59-6, as you say, intimacy or not, the 59-6,
Right.
but the 55-6, I think of her as this purely elemental being. That's who she is to herself. It's almost a purely emotional person, and one in which she's really kind of closed away
Well, closed away,
from others, not from.
but not, because I think at this point there's been really this, this development, for her from being diagnosed, as an autistic person when she was very young, and to the place where, I mean, she has a master's degree, she has, her PhD at this point. I mean, she's obviously very high functioning, but I find it interesting. She's written this book, Animals in Translation. And in it, it's like she's got these controversial theories, which, of course, you look at a chart like this and you can see this woman, definitely is bringing something new and different. She redefines consciousness and argues that language is not a requirement for consciousness. This is part of the connection between, animals and people. She categorizes, and I think this is fascinating, autism as a way station on the road from animals to humans.
No kidding.
And I think, her sense of humans is her sense of us really as a rave. I mean, I don't think, she has any language for it, but that there is this movement, from the animal to the human. And then she also explores the interpreter in the normal human brain that filters out detail, creating an unintentional blindness that animals and autistics do not suffer from. And I think this is this fifth color, it's like she's so in tune with this sensor. I mean, it's been part of really what she's had to learn in her life is, how to not get into sensory overload, right?
Oh no, I think when you talk about how this person grew up as a child being autistic and being looked at as retarded probably or definitely learning
Well, brain
disabilities.
damaged, that was, I mean, when she was little, that's what her parents were told, and that they should put her into an institution. And instead, what they did was that they really had people around her that were interacting with her and keeping her from just going in the corner and not having anything to do with anybody. And, you know, she now speaks to all of these organizations around autism, and she talks about that's what's so important, that, in fact, any child that's autistic needs probably at least 20 hours a week of interaction.
Right.
That it's so important. And obviously, for many of these children, they do. Yeah, they're seen as brain damaged, and they're just put away.
Oh, right? I mean, with her design, mm-hmm. 45th gate,
right?
Okay, 18th gate twice, fifth line therapy, mm-hmm. sixth line Buddhahood. But talk about challenging authority, what she had to do. Challenging authority, when she first started, as it was represented in that movie, trying to convince these ranchers that maybe you lose, and she reasons with them in a way, oh, how many cattle die because they panic?
Wouldn't
it be better if they walked in circles? Because she notices they like walking in circles, and you have them running straight on. And she actually pretended to be a cow going through it and being distracted by a shiny object, and it was just incredible. But
you
know, here she has this talent, and being dissatisfied to challenge and get it right to her throat, and that sharpness to burst bubbles, you know, with the 16-2 and the cynic and
the prophet, the 12-4, and you know, it's
voice
in
the wilderness.
The voice in the wilderness, right. And she really is, but she has, you know, she's made such a difference for this whole understanding about autism, because we actually have someone that's experiencing it and has this capacity to really talk about it. You know, the other interesting thing that she talks about is that, you know, she's been on antidepressants for years.
Right.
And that she said, you know, she wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. And obviously that's part of what deals with, you know, the sensory overload. And she's saying that with children that are autistic, if you give them antidepressants and you don't see this change in their behavior right away, take them off it because it doesn't work. But that for her, it's made a huge difference. And the other interesting thing that I read, because, you know, we saw the movie and everything about her life, and, you know, she made that hugging machine.
Right.
Well, it broke a few years ago, and she never fixed it, and now she hugs people.
Right.
She doesn't need the hugging machine anymore.
Right.
So that's what I mean. I think there's been this development, you know, for her of being able to be in the world, but still in the world in this very kind of non-emotional. I think really she's a great example of what that, with the motor function gone, the sensitivity of an awakened solar plexus, right? And the motor function is gone. She's not being cranked up on some emotional wave, right? But she has this enormous sensitivity. I mean, listen to what she says. She says she's a visual thinker, right? She compares her memory to full-length movies in her head that she can replay at will, allowing her to notice small details. And then she can view the memories again. She can change the context by changing the lighting and the shadows. Okay, this is what she's doing. I mean, I read her book years ago that says, it was called, you know, I See in Pictures.
Right.
And that's what she's saying, you know, it's like, it's visual. It isn't that words are really a second language for her, that she's seeing in pictures.
Well, I think she's a very collective person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has collective
and individual.
So it's very acoustic. I mean, the only activation of the 24th gate, you know, so this noisy mind, the 43rd gate, pointing at her throat, unique mental habits, but very collective. So in a way, her design, because it's not conscious, that impels her to share, you know, and that involves, you need someone to share with. I mean, I know the collective people in my life, they call me because they want to share something. I know if I'm not there, they have to call the next one on their list to share.
Yeah, but this, I think for her, though, this is coming, you know, in such a different way. And that, you know, her sharing is ending up, I mean, she talks about it. It's all about her work and her work both with autism and with animals. I mean, you know, that's really, you know, where it's all about. I also think of this Buddhahood, you know, when she was at those award ceremonies, the state of the eternal child. She is like this child. She really is very childlike in her demeanor and just how she is about things, I think.
Well, I think, you know, as Ra said with the sixth line, especially a 6-2 in your profile, it takes you 50 years to mature.
Right.
Now she's, what, 64 now? But, you know, it's just a longer maturation process where you really are very young, aside from the fact that that six-line profile has gone through these three different stages of development.
Well, and also I think, you know, in her nodes, you know, this 8-4, this drive to contribute, you know, that she's made such a contribution. I mean, years ago she was at an autistic conference and the woman that was the head of the association noticed her there. She was tall. She was very interested. The woman went over and started talking to her and then realized that she was autistic, right? And obviously so high functioning. And so she asked her if she would speak to the conference the next year. And it's like between that and I think Oliver Sacks, really, you know, in his collection of strange people, her being one of them, you know, bringing this kind of attention to her. And that, yeah, especially in these later years of her life, especially since she's come off the roof, I would say, you know.
No, I mean, the 12th gate, fourth line, the prophet, the voice in the wilderness. But I would say to anyone listening to the show, if you go on YouTube and type in Temple Grandin,
watch those videos.
There was a one-hour video where she did address this conference talking about, here's about your autistic child. And now she's autistic. And when you were saying that she's this bridge between the rave and the new being, actually, people are thinking she's the bridge between these autistic or mammals as if we are the higher species.
Right, yeah, people don't really understand that. That's why I think she is really an exciting person with regard to human design, because when Ra talked about the rave and the difficulties, you know, that they were going to have, it's like she's like this forerunner that's really, you know, creating some understanding about being very different, and that it's possible, you know, to be high functioning, to be in society, and not to just
and
lock
to make
away
an enormous contribution.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because here's this autistic person that has revolutionized the cattle industry.
Oh, absolutely.
For its own good, but also for the good of the animal, the harmony through affection of that 13th
gate,
first line.
Well, and also to the thing, you know, that Ra talks about, that, you know, we've got to stop eating them, right? Yeah. I mean, at some point, right?
And it's barbaric.
It's barbaric. And, it, you know, and at some point we're going to be there with their spirit right with us, right?
Hopefully they'll be herding us in circles so we don't know what's going on.
That's right.
And well, Teresa, it's been fun. But I think it's time to say good night, Teresa.
Good night, Teresa.